welcome into Mid-Mornings on Main. I've always wanted to have a reason, an opportunity to try to merge those two pieces of music, Tony Bennett and I Left My Heart in San Francisco, and Scott McKenzie, and if you're going to San Francisco, wear some flowers in your hair. Our guest this morning, she has no idea about either one of those pieces of music because she's not old enough probably to even reflect on either one of those, but kind of different generations there. And we're going to kind of talk about something a little bit different generationally for us with our guest this morning, Rectalk Ross. And she joins us from San Francisco on this Thursday edition of Mid-Mornings on Main. Rectalk, good morning.
Good morning. I love that you play that. And you're never too young for Tony Bennett.
No, I would think not. Music. Have you, Scott McKenzie, are you familiar much with that era of music?
I know.
1960s.
Tony, I know.
You know, yeah. Across, you're there in San Francisco this morning, and thanks for getting up early and visiting with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so happy to be on.
Yeah. Your first effort in the writing.
It is. It's my debut.
But you're a journalism student by heart, so you just decided that journalism wasn't going to be the ticket, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I decided that, I think, a while ago. So it doesn't say it on my official bio, but I'm actually a practicing trial lawyer. So I went from journalism directly to law school, and then I actually still practice law, but I've decided that writing is really where my heart is at. So this is my first effort, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, and now Rectalk Ross, not your real name.
It is not my real name. So it's a pen name. I work in a pretty serious corporate America world, and so I really wanted to keep my professional life separate from my writing life as a young adult author. You know, there's also another reason why I picked the name. I find that, you know, people do have preconceived notions of books and authors. For example, I don't know how familiar you are or your readers are, or listeners are, with the J.K. Rowling incident where she actually wrote under a male name for a mystery novel. But it really is true. People have in their head ideas of what, you know, a man could write or a woman could write or, you know, someone of a certain ethnicity can write. And so I wanted to kind of play with that. And I wanted to pick a name that you couldn't decide. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Where are they from?
Yeah. What does Rectalk mean?
So it's actually, I don't know if it means anything, but it's a play on words. I basically inverted a last name and came up with a spelling that spelled out Rectalk.
Well, hey, it works. Where'd you grow up?
So I actually grew up in Florida. I grew up in South Florida. I don't know if you've been, but right near Fort Lauderdale. I was in a small suburb of Fort Lauderdale.
And how did you transition across country to San Francisco?
Very, very slowly, in bits and pieces. So I went to a college and undergrad in Florida, and then I took my first job in Dallas, Texas, which is an area that the book Prodigal is based actually in Texas. It's a suburb of Houston, but that's kind of my Texas roots coming out. And then about 3 years ago, I moved out to San Francisco.
All right. As you decided to make this transition, and you're still practicing law.
I am.
Yeah, but you're kind of flirting with the idea of maybe, hopefully, Prodigal is going to be your jump start to a complete transition.
Yeah, that'd be great. Although, you know, I still do love law, so we'll see. Right now, it's been difficult, but I have been able to juggle it both. So, you know, I'll kind of see where the road of life takes me.
I'm going to, you know, risk doing, you know, one of the greatest no-nos of all.
Risk it.
You might reach through the phone and smack me when I do this, but I think it's kind of, I believe it's important to know, but how old
are you? Can I guess what you're going to ask?
Yeah.
Are you going to ask my age?
I'm going to ask your age because you have me kind of baffled.
I'm in my 30s.
In your 30s? That's.
Yeah, I had a feeling that it was age. It's always the no-no for all women, isn't it?
Don't
ask the age.
This book is geared toward what age reader? If you had to do a 7-year scope of age group that you thought this book would be geared toward, what would those ages be?
Yeah, it's really geared. I think it's probably 13, 12 or 13 and up. It was really important to me to write a book for, young adults, kids, that talked about the fun stuff. So, first love and, making new friends and changing schools and, what do you want to do with your life, your career-wise. But I also wanted to write something that had meaning behind it. In this book for Lexi, it's her spiritual journey and how she comes to know her faith in God. And it's really important for me to do that at a time period where, kids are looking for that. There's not a lot of guidance, I think, especially in today's day and age when there's so much, out there, to really come back to what is it that you really believe in, what are your morals, what's your belief system. And I think it's so important for kids to really, at a young age, come to understand that and to start explore that. And so while I think the book will resonate with people of all ages, I've got readers, I've even got, men who are, 60, 70 years old who have read the book and have written me and told me they've enjoyed it. It really was written in mind, I think, for kids.
Yeah, and so important. I would think that if I was a writer today, and I thought I had the ability to write something like you've done, that would be what I would want, because there's a real void, I find, and, so many times, and we have a number of authors on the show, but to find books that you could say to one of your friends who's a parent of a young teenager, hey, you ought to have so-and-so read Prodigal. You don't find a lot of books out there, really. I'm sure there are, and I'm missing a lot of them, but at least I think there's probably a greater void in this niche than almost any other.
Yeah, I think it's nice for you to say that, because I think you hit on it directly. So I read a ton of books. I mean, I probably read a book a day, and I have for the last, 20, 25 years. And I also, my boyfriend has teenage girls as well. And it's really a challenge for us to find books that are, fun and easy reads and not too, esoteric or out there, but that also do talk about God and spirituality and religion, which is a big part of many people's lives, especially in the fiction context. So you get it sometimes in nonfiction, or you get something that's maybe a little bit too preachy. It doesn't resonate with kids anymore. And so for me, it was really important to write a book that kind of walked both lines, that really did talk about meaning behind life and deeper things, but that was fun. You could share it with your friends. You could read it on the beach. You didn't walk away that it's a super heavy read or hard to digest or understand. Something that's accessible, I think, is really important.
I have a granddaughter, Lexi. So tell me about Lexi Quinn and how closely you relate to the character, and how much did you have to kind of, take yourself and, fly up to the ceiling and look down on what was happening and trying to put together the pieces of her life?
Yeah, that's a great question. People ask me a lot, especially my friends and family, when they read the book, they see a lot of similarities. But I think because it was my debut novel, it was really important to write something that was really in touch with the experiences I had as a young adult. And for me, that was kind of two things that Lexi goes through. I also had to switch schools at a young age. My parents decided that it would be a fantastic idea to move me my senior year. So switching schools was kind of an issue in new neighborhoods and new friends and new atmosphere. And then my mother was also diagnosed with cancer when I was in high school. And at the time, again, I read a lot of books, and I just couldn't find anything out there that really spoke about a teenager struggles with that, because it's such an odd time of your life. You're still a child and you still depend on your parents for so much, and to have something like that happen to your parents, I think it's really difficult. It's difficult at any age, but I think for a teenager, it's a really scary time. And so Lexi, in many ways, I think reflects those two experiences that I had as a teen.
In the book, Is there an effort, you would say, to hit the idea of home with young people, that when you come to feel, you know, good and comfortable and at home and at ease with yourself, and at the same time that you are not removing yourself from the social side of things, you're not ostracizing yourself from society so that it's just you. You're still involved with people, but you at the same time are really comfortable with just yourself. That when you hit that point, that everything from there is almost going to be downhill and successful, no matter. And success can take on a lot of different meanings, I realize, but life is going to kind of be what you want it to be when you hit that point.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, so I think the book really touches on what is it that is your moral guiding compass. You know, for some people, it's religion and spirituality, and that is Lexi's path. She finds her center in God and in her, you know, spiritual faith. And maybe that's not for everyone, and, you know, I wanted a book that was open-minded enough to really touch people of all different religions and all different walks of life. And, you know, for some people, it's really just being comfortable with their own, you know, moral center and what grounds them. But it's really about knowing who you are and what's important to you. And when you make decisions, what are you going to lean on?
I love it when people can put words in place that are so simple and yet become so elegant. And you do that a number of times in this book. And one of those, I'm going to read just a short excerpt. "It snowed the day of my mom's funeral. Someone said it was the first time in 7 years. I was glad for the weather. The sun shining didn't seem right, not when she died alone in that freezing hospital room while I was still asleep in my warm bed. We drove to the cemetery in a long black limousine. It was like a dungeon on wheels. I was only in a limousine once before, back when Pilar had rented one to take us to the homecoming dance. That limousine had been white and magnificent, and we tried to stick our heads out of the roof like they do in the movies. This time was different." When I read that, I thought, you know, there's nothing really fabulous about that. It didn't take someone who was a great master of words necessarily to come up with that. It just took someone who could insightfully look at a life experience and put it into same and kind of plain and simple terms. And it's a beautiful thing when you can do that.
Yeah, thank you. That was actually a pretty tough scene for me to write, and I went through it a number of times. Both with drafts and then working with an editor, because it's a hard, you know, that's probably one of the hardest points in Lexi's, you know, character arc. And it's really, for anyone who's experienced tragedy, you know, reliving that moment is incredibly difficult. But at the same time, I wanted it to be, you know, exactly as you said, I wanted it to be simple enough that the emotion was really there and you didn't get bogged down by language or, you know, heavy vocabulary. I wanted the reader to really feel what Lexi was feeling.
You say that Ash Preston is a perfect guy, and even better, he sees Lexi as she wants to be seen. That concept. We all have this idea of, you know, why don't people look at me like that? People get the false impression of me all the time. That's a real challenge for young people, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think what's really great about the love story between Lexi and Ash is that they both see in each other, you know, they both have these public personas of who they are. Lexi's, you know, quiet and shy, and Ash is, you know, the super jock, you know, most popular guy in school. But they have these deeper issues that they're dealing with, and that's not really just who they are. And they're able to see in each other what it is that really drives them and their real character in a way that even, you know, they can't see for themselves. And I think in love, that's such an important thing, to find someone who really understands who you are and brings out the best in you and forces you to, you know, hold up a mirror and see maybe the things you're not seeing about yourself. And I think they do that for each other beautifully.
Rec Talk Ross, not her real name, is our guest this morning. She is the author of Prodigal, A Different Kind of Love Story. And what's a word in the book, Rec Talk, that most of your readers will have to grab the dictionary to find the meaning of?
You know, it's actually, I made a real effort not to put words in there that people would have to grab a dictionary, but a Bible, I think, would be useful when you read the book, because there are a lot of biblical references kind of buried within the book that I think some people, you know, especially from depending what religious background you come from or what, you know, how you grew up, you may not actually remember it or know of it or have been exposed to it. So I think having that handy as a reference is actually quite helpful, because there's a lot of, you know, interesting quotes or anecdotes or stories that I've weaved in there.
Yeah. Tell me about the cover. I'm struggling to figure it out a little bit.
So it's another, I also get that as well, it's another biblical reference. So the cover is kind of a throwback to the story about the lost sheep in the Bible. And in many ways, I think Lexi really is a lost sheep. She doesn't, you know, she's moved from one area to another. She doesn't really know physically how to fit in there. But then also internally, she's not really sure where she fits in or, you know, who's going to guide her in life. And so I think, you know, that parable in the Bible really does relate a lot to the story, the parable of the lost sheep, really does link a lot to Prodigal. And I also, it was really important to me to have on the cover a book that would look different than what you normally see in a young adult or a romance section, you know, the guy with the hair blown back or, you know, an alien or a vampire. I wanted something that was really very simple and reflected that this was going to be a different type of story, which is really what this book is. Prodigal really is a different type of love story.
Yeah, when I saw Prodigal and then I look, I thought, well, that's not a fatted calf. That's a sheep. You know, I talk with a lot of times with people in education, and you know, someone who will maybe they'll teach elementary school, and then they'll coach a high school team, and they transition. You know, they'll go all day long, and they'll deal with third graders, and then at 4 o'clock school lets out, and they head to the gym or the practice field with a group of 16 and 17 and 18 year olds. And they transition that. And that's an interesting dynamic that they go through. Talk about your dynamic of going from, you know, the legal profession and then transitioning to be a writer of something, you know, that's on such a different realm.
Yeah, you know, it's been, in a lot of ways, it's been a challenge. The whole work-life balance has been, you know, interesting to kind of figure out when do you write and how can you write when you're having a full-time job. And I think a lot of people, especially in today's age, do have other things going on. They don't just have one career anymore. So I think a lot of people, you know, would understand that as well. But the most interesting aspect of the change for me has been learning how to write as a fiction author as opposed to a legal writer. And it's completely different. When you write for the law, and it's, you know, your listeners are lawyers, will probably laugh at this, but it's about being very, very vanilla. And so you don't want to put too much flair, too much flavor into your writing. You really have to be very technical with the words that you're using. And fiction writing is completely different. You know, you want to be, you want to flourish your writing and make it something that you can feel and you can taste and you can touch. You're evoking all different types of imagery, which is not something you do in the legal world. And then on top of that, you're, you know, building stories of people, and you've got plots and character arcs, and there's so much that goes into that, building your character and what do they love, what do they like, you know, where do they come from, and you don't do any of that in legal writing. So all of that was definitely a skill set that I had to learn.
Mm-hmm. Will we read of Lexi Quinn again?
You know, I really love Lexi, and there's so much left in her life, so I do think at some point I will revisit her story and check in with her and see what she's doing, maybe in college. But my next book is actually completely different, and I think that my readers will really enjoy it and maybe will be a little surprised in the direction, but it's actually an action-adventure story, and it takes place in college, so it's a little bit older than Prodigal was, and out probably the next year and a half. It takes a while in the world of publishing, But it does still have the same hallmarks of what I like to consider a Rectalk Ross novel. So it's got a very strong heroine. It's got a great love interest and romance thrown in there. And then it also has, you know, a discussion about the meaning of life and it, kind of what we talked about before, your belief system. But it's real different. There's definitely a darker element to my second novel.
You like a good dessert, I know. If you're going to go out tonight in San Francisco, what restaurant would you go to and what would the dessert be?
Oh, that's such a good question. So unexpected. So, yes, I love desserts. Let me think. So San Francisco is probably a little bit trickier. If I'm allowed to go to Napa, I think I would go. It's only, you know, another 30 minutes out. I think I would go to one of Thomas Keller's restaurants, and I would absolutely order something with chocolate. So a chocolate mousse, chocolate tart, chocolate cake, any of those.
Are you anywhere close to the Golden Gate Bridge?
I am. I'm about 30 minutes, 20 minutes, depending on the traffic. You know, San Francisco, you know, you could be 5 minutes away, and if you hit it at the wrong time, it's an hour. But, yeah, fairly close.
Yeah, beautiful. But mornings are beautiful there, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely breathtaking. This is by far one of the most beautiful places I've ever lived.
Yeah. And you think that's home for good? You plan on staying right there in San Francisco?
You know, I don't know. I like to say that, you know, be open to all possibilities and see where life takes you. I am definitely happy now. It's been a great city here. So much to do. It's beautiful as far as, you know, the scenery and the people are just lovely. But, you know, you never know. If I had an opportunity that took me somewhere else, I'd be open to it.
Okay. The book Prodigal, it's available right now, folks. And where's the best place to locate Prodigal?
So a good place to stop by would probably be my website, www.rectalkross.com, RectalkRoss.com. The book is also available in bookstores anywhere, so you can walk into your local Barnes & Nobles or, you know, Borders, and you can also get it online. A lot of my readers like the e-book, so they go online to get it. It's available either on my website or you can go to Amazon.com. Barnes & Noble has it. Pretty much, I think, just type in Google and it'll pop up anywhere.
Well, whoever you are, Rectalk Ross, thanks for filling. Again, I think there's a real void in this area. I think for our parents and grandparents out there, folks, you're looking for something you can hand to, again, a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, and say, hey, you might enjoy reading this, and you might get something out of it, and at the same time, you might enjoy reading it yourself. This is a great piece, and I hope you can continue in this vein of writing. I think there will continue to be a great need and a great market as people are aware of your writing and the availability of it. So wish you a lot of luck and appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure being on with you.
And we encourage you to hang around. We've got much more to come on Mid-Mornings on Maine for this Thursday.